Honorable members, I think we should start. As we said, we would have altered the program in order to accommodate candidates on the special arrangements that have been made. As I welcome you, Mr. Waluyi, you are appearing before a subcommittee of the Portfolio Committee on Communications in the National Assembly. As the National Assembly rules allow that the Portfolio Committee can appoint a subcommittee to focus on a particular matter. So in this instance, we're focusing on the appointment process for ICASA councillors. I will, of course, without waste of time, introduce the members, even though we have one member who has taken the break during lunch, but coming back in no time. But it won't be to any of his disadvantage in that we have received also your presentations and members have gone through them, but also your CVs. So when, after introducing the members briefly, we'll then allow you space to introduce yourself, but as you do the introduction, you'll then get to introduce immediately your topic that you have chosen, which should happen in 10 minutes maximum. Thereafter, we'll have the members taking maximum 5 minutes per member to ask questions or whatever they raise with you, and your answers will also have to be accommodated in the 5 minutes per member. And then move towards closure in that score. So I'll start on my right. I have Honorable Kubeka. Then as he sits down, that's Honorable Mlala. Then we have Honorable Faku. Honorable Van Dam. We then have Honorable Dr. Ndlozi, Honorable Maneli chairing. We had, because I know you'd have been here for some time now, we had one member, Honorable Machozi, who had to leave because of bereavement issues that she's working on. However, we do proceed. Given the Quran we have. So that will be a brief introduction. But as I said, we'll now give you an opportunity to briefly introduce yourself and the topic in the 10 minutes that's following. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Waluyi.
Good afternoon, Chair and the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present before you and be interviewed. My name is Edmund Baloyi. You have my CV. I won't go through my CV. I've chosen the second topic, which I'm going to take you through just now. I've looked at regulation in South Africa. The question was to talk about converged regulation versus single sector regulation, dimensions of regulatory effectiveness, and then regulatory institutional structures, and then self-regulation versus co-regulation. Background, in terms of legislation, we had a number of legislation that have been, some have been repealed, which governed the sector. Starting from back then, we used to use the Post and Telecommunications Act in 1948, and then followed by 1996 Telecoms Act, up until the ECA was developed, which is now the current legislation that we're using for the sector. As South Africa, we were an early adopter of convergence. We I can say we're living in a converged environment. The regulator, which is ICASA, now regulates broadcasting, regulates telecommunications, regulates postal. And I'll say that we are already converged, even though there is still an opportunity to add more elements to the convention. These are some of the legislation which have been affected by the introduction of convergence and the ECA, which is the current law that governs the sector. I'll define convergence as a process where different elements of technologies have merged in order to deliver services, which previously one element would be for broadcasting, the other one would be for telecommunications. Right now, devices do different things at the same time. A cell phone can, you're able to watch movies, you're able to use it as a device, as a computer. You can make presentation on a cell phone. Right now, with the invent of ECA, is that it introduced different classes or different kind of licenses which we didn't have before. We've got individual licenses which are used to cover the whole country, and then with that individual license, excuse me, you are able to apply for numbers to cast and then render services to your clients. And then with class licenses, they are more regional based. You can look at a municipality or a metro that would be classified as a class license when that particular business is given the license. And it's got its own restrictions in terms of what you can and what you cannot do. And ICASA was established when it came from the Section 192 of the Constitution, where basically it had to be an independent regulator regulating broadcasting. Initially, it was the IBA Act that was governing that process, but right now CAS has taken over because SATRA and IBA have since merged. So ICASA is supposed to be an independent body that is able to take decision on its own without influence from whether it's the minister or from the sector, but it has to take an independent decision. And then the funding of ICASA is coming through the department, which is then appropriated by Parliament. And in terms of the ITU, there are certain elements that it's looked at as independent. The first one would be structural independence, which it's got its own legislation that it governs, ICASA. It's separate from government, it's separate from operators. And then the second one is the funding model, independence of the funding model. ICASA is funded through Parliament, which is a public process also, which makes it an independent financing model. And then the other one is functional effectiveness. Can it take decisions on its own and implement those decisions? When it comes to effectiveness, ICASA, when the ECA was enacted, managed to convert about 400 licenses, which previously some of them were called VENS licenses, and then all of them were given the same rights and powers. And it has since introduced a number of regulations, for example, the number portability, and then when it comes to time for elections, they are able to come up with the regulations within the time frame that is allocated, which will govern how broadcasters are going to manage time for political parties. And I'll say that currently there are some number of challenges which I think ICASA has got to look at in terms of how to become more effective. For instance, they must look at NDP as a blueprint. Whatever ICASA does on a yearly basis, it must also be adjusted according to the demands of what's happening in the country and what is required, what are the challenges of the country at a particular time. For example, when there are things that the priorities that the president will pronounce on, that should also affect how ICASA does its work and then put that as priorities. And then something that has been happening with ICASA is that there's been a delay in licensing of the spectrum. And then the other challenge that I think also they have to look at urgently will be the licensing of the wireless open access network. And then sometimes there's a delay in drafting of some regulations. For example, the empowerment regulations were only released this year, even though it was since 2005 when the Act was enacted, they had the power to do the regulations. And then issue of the data prices, and then issue of sometimes exodus of critical staff that affects its delivery of work and attracting highly trained staff members. And also be ready for new invents of new technologies which are coming and be proactive. When it comes to self-regulation and co-regulation, it's already happening right now. ICASA is there's a relationship with BCCSA which governs broadcasters in terms of the code of conduct. There's a certain language which cannot be used, which all broadcasters or broadcasters subscribe to that code and are able on their own to decide if someone has done something wrong. They're able to come penalize that particular broadcaster that has done something wrong. And then ISPs also, they've got their own code of conduct. And when it comes to co-regulation, you have regulation of spectrum. For instance, recently there were regulations that ICASA came with data expired regulations, and then issuing of licenses, and then looking at post office and number portability, some of the regulations that they've done. And also they've got a relationship with the Competition Commission where they can co-regulate. The National Consumer Commission when there are consumer complaints, and then also when it comes to standards, for example, set-top boxes, cell phones, laptops, ICASA does type approval, and then SABS has got its own standards that the minimum it has to fit minimum standards, and then also that helps in dumping by other countries or by companies who take technology that is old from other countries, bring it into South Africa. In terms of the structures, the minister basically develops the policy, and then the parliament will come up with the legislation, and after ICASA will have to come up with regulations, and then that get implemented where licenses are governed by those rules. When it comes back again to the issue of the additional work that maybe ICASA can look at, for example, there's indication that film and publication will also be part of ICASA. .za will also be part of ICASA, or it will form a super regulator that will be regulating different things, but it will be one single regulator regulating everything when it comes to ICT communications. Some of the things that, going back to agent matters for ICASA, which I think is important, the data prices, look at data prices, spectrum licensing, then community education, in a sense that people sometimes don't know when they have a problem with a service provider where to go. And then also looking at prioritizing also SMME licensing, of giving licenses to SMMEs. If, for example, you apply for a license with ICASA, sometimes it takes far much longer than it's supposed to. If you want to transfer a license from one entity to the next, it sometimes takes up to a year before it has been finalized those applications. And then looking at empowerment in the industry, especially introduction of youth into the mainstream ICT economy, and then also removing barriers to entry into the ICT sector. And then also, one other thing that needs to happen is that they need to be proactive in terms of coming up with regulations and manage relationship between the minister and ICASA in a sense that I think a while back, last year, there was a time when I think ICASA wanted to take the minister to court because there was a delay in getting an allocation, funding allocation, which comes back to the issue of independence of the regulator. So some of those things might give other people an idea that there is some level of interference, because maybe the minister decided to hold back the funding of ICASA for one reason or the next. But I believe that if there is that communication and interaction between the ministry and ICASA, then some of those things should not even happen. Then the strengthening of relationship between ICASA and other for instance, commission, consumer commission, competition commission, that will also help making sure that the consumers don't get penalized unnecessarily, and then also prioritize issues of e-commerce and strengthening stakeholder engagement, meaning that ICASA must have a good relationship with the sector. It doesn't mean that it must do what the sector wants them to do every time, but there must be that relationship where there will be good communication, and then they're able to raise issues on both sides and be able to deliver service to the consumer. Thank you.
Honourable members, that's the presentation from Mr. Maloyi. Thanks for the presentation. I will now allow honourable members to engage with the presentation, starting with Honourable Kubega.
Thank you, Chair. How are you, Ntate Edmond?
I'm okay.
Let me welcome the presentation from Ntate Edmond. Ntate Edmond, I'm having a question under the regulatory effectiveness. You have raised much more challenges there. So I want to understand, if you are being appointed, let's say tomorrow, can you just give me the strategy? How are you going to resolve? Because as you can see, you have raised key things there. The one of the empowerment of SMMEs, the one of this delaying of spectrum and auction, the empowerment, regulations. I'm having an interest actually in those, and also on the issue of the ICASA in order to be ready for the 4IR. Can you just convince me, how are you going to tackle those things? Thank you.
Thank you, Akubek. In the first place, when it comes to SMMEs, is that ICASA treats small players like big players. Smaller players don't have pockets, and big departments who are going to be dealing with all those issues, which they will need ICASA to license. Or for, I can give an example. If, for instance, you were to apply for a license at ICASA, I'll give a classic example of when I buy a license from you, I have to go to ICASA first to get permission, and then that license has to be transferred to me after ICASA has given that permission. That can take anything up to a year. And when you look at what could be the hold up, is that why is it that is it not digital, where I can just get into a website or a platform that it has created, submit the application, in the background it will be processing all the information, and then I can instantly get an answer, like what happens with CIPC when you apply for a company. It takes so much quicker than what happens with the customer when it comes to licenses. So I'll say they need to digitize some of the work that it's being done with ICASA. And when it comes to spectrum also, when you apply for spectrum, I'm not even talking about the auction and the high demand spectrum. If you want to apply for a point-to-point connectivity, you've got all your coordinates, the engineers, they've done the work, you've got the equipment, everything has been done. It also takes a long time. It might even take up to 3 months. Things have improved recently, but there can still be more improvement. And I think also some of those things, it will free up some of the staff members to focus on other things, which will then benefit the consumers overall. And then when it comes to empowerment, is that the sector as it is, it's only for people who, I would say, privileged, because people who are in, I would say, rural areas or township, or someone who doesn't really understand what is happening, they will not even want to venture into what ICASA does. And that's where I think things go wrong, because some of the problems we're having could be resolved. People will be able to apply for licenses. Some of these services don't even need you to apply for a license. You can go tomorrow, wake up, and then go into to Telkom, Vodacom, or wherever, and then become a some kind of a service provider. But currently, if you want to do that, you must first have a license coming from ICASA. And then if you don't have a license, you can't even deliver those services. If you want to become some kind of an ISP, where you buy capacity from a big operator and then you resell in your community or wherever it is that you think there is a market, because there is still market out there, it takes a long time. So when it comes to being ready for IRE, that I'm saying that some of the things that will be coming is that for you to be able to use certain equipment, it needs to be approved by ICASA. So if that's going to take long, then it means that it's going to affect how it's being rolled out, for IRE is being rolled out, because it will be, for instance, machine-to-machine communication or Internet of Things, whichever it is, that it will need some kind of equipment that will be able to render those services to that particular consumer or the company.
I was saying, can you give me the solution? How are you going to resolve if you have been appointed? Yes.
On the SMME and the spectrum, I'll give an example that they need to digitize the system, because there's no need for it to take 3 months. It can be an instant process. So it means then, I will say or suggest that they get software or a platform that will solve most of these problems, because most of them, it's just basically delays based on one reason or the other, which most of it, it's human-based, because you have to have a human being who's going to sit and look at the application and say, but this is not here, this is not right. But if you had, I had put in the platform immediately, it would have given me answers, and then I would have been able to respond to those things that are missing on that particular application or what I need to do. So what I'm saying is that I would suggest that they introduce more digital-based solutions than leaving a human eye who's going to go through an application page by page, word by word, which takes time, and then you free up those staff members to focus on other elements of ICASA operations.
So on the issue of convergence, we are also saying we want to merge some entities. Do you think it's advisable?
I think yes, because if you look at most of the services that are rendered, the over-the-top services, they, one way or the other, get touched by what ICASA does. If you don't have operators that have got frequencies to have 5G networks, it means then I will not be able to watch a whatever service or use a service that is online properly, or the speeds will be slow because ICASA will have delayed doing certain things which affect that particular application directly. So I'll say yes, but with each and every project or process, it's the how it's done that will be more important, because we have to find a solution or manage it properly such that it will still be functional. It doesn't create more problems moving forward.
Thanks, Chair. Afternoon, Mr. Baloyi. It's not very clear, maybe I don't have the right CV, where you're currently employed now.
I'm currently, I'll say self-employed. I do consulting work for companies in the IT sector.
Cool. You realize that that would be a conflict of interest and you'd have to resign from that position?
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Where were you employed in 2016?
Ever since leaving ICASA, I've not been in formal employment per se, but I did try to work with different, from some different relationship with some different people.
So in 2016, were you working for ICASA?
In 2016? No.
Yes. You were?
I was doing what I'm doing currently, consulting work.
All right. I've got here that you owed SARS 72,000 rand in 2016.
They were, when I left ICASA, some of my tax things which were supposed to be submitted by ICASA were not. There was a delay in terms of submitting.
Point of order. Chairperson? Yes, I am. Can I speak? Yeah, I'm sorry, but tax information is personal people's information. Like it's like someone's bank statement. You can come
what
in.
Done, sorry.
I think it's wrong to want to discuss a personal statement of tax with someone. I don't think any of us would want to do that. Maybe the honorable member could have asked a general question, but I'm how does Van Damme even get hold of the tax information of people?
Why don't you ask me? I could have explained.
Yeah, maybe you can help.
Yes, Jay, it's court judgments against individuals, which are public record. So it's not like I went and hacked his bank statements, you know. It's judgments against an individual. So we can't just ignore court judgments. I must ask, if the FAS is a public institution, how?
But there's an answer to be given. That's what I'm saying. There's an answer to be given.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me clarify. Honorable Van Damme, it's all my taxes have been paid. I've submitted everything that SARS required. What you have there is administrative penalties because of the delay on submitting resubmission of the information that they required. The mistake happened when I left ICASA. SARS still sent all those things to ICASA, and I could not attend to it in time. But right now, they said once I've submitted everything, they are looking at waiving all those penalties.
Okay. Have you ever had
any other judgments against you?
Yes. Because of the work that I'm doing as a consultant, sometimes you get paid, sometimes you don't get paid. And for the past, I'll say, 24 months or so, things were very difficult to a point where my school fees for my children was delayed. Also that it has been sorted.
No, thanks. I had to clarify that.
No,
if I didn't ask, I wouldn't know. And it happens that people don't have employment. So it's not like you've explained both of them. Now I know. Whereas I could have just looked at this and said, this guy doesn't know how to manage his finances. Now I know. I must ask this because it's a red flag for me. So here it says you owe Velile Tinto and Associates 14 million rand.
I don't even know that company.
Velile Tinto. I think it's a law firm.
It can't be. There's no way that I owe that much money to them. I don't even know them. I've never worked with them.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for making me aware. I'll have to look at it.
So not everything that is in the public domain is correct.
That is why we ask.
But at least it helps that it clarifies.
We ask so that it can be clear.
Another fuck.
Thank you, Chair. It is very rare where you will find a child of a working class, especially a black child, who don't have judgments against them. So I don't think it's here or there. Mr. Baloyi, thank you for your presentation. It's nice to see young black men in the sector. With all the challenges that are there, one would appreciate that we are holding on regardless of what. We're happy to say that because what we want is transformation. I hear part of your presentation, you are saying that there was a judgment. So, sorry, ICASA took the minister to court. There was an issue whereby, the issue of interference, do you believe maybe there is issues of interference from the ministry with ICASA?
Thank you for the question, Honorable Fakou. I would say no, because I've worked for the department before, and we used to engage with ICASA on an ongoing basis. And I also worked for ICASA also. I engage with the ministry on an ongoing basis. Most of the time, what I'd found to be a problem was miscommunication, and then when one party or the minister will be sitting on the one corner and think that ICASA is doing this and this and that. What needs to be done, or what we used to do back then when we were working in the department, and also when I was working at ICASA, we had an open communication channel with members or staff members within the department. If, for instance, we know that there is a big decision that ICASA has to make, And I'm not saying getting permission to the minister, but we'll send briefing notes to the minister that in the next week we are going to be dealing with this matter, and this matter has got an implications on the state in terms of this and this and that, and it will be, it's got implications to consumers like with particular aspects, to avoid the situation where you just issue out a public announcement and you have not briefed the minister as executive, which at the end of the day it will have impact one way or the other to the work of the department or the ministry. So it's very important to have those open channels where you have meetings, you interact, not that you get permission from them to make decisions, but make them understand that we arrived at this particular position based on these reasons, and these were the motivations why we follow this process. That avoids fights or public fights between the regulator and the minister. And also, the same applies with operators. It's very important that you engage the operators because they are some of your stakeholders. If you don't speak to them, engage with them, you come with a decision. And then following day, they go to court and say, no, but we're stopping you from implementing those regulations. Whereas if you had sat and discussed the matter and then resolved the matter, you will have, whether you agree on the approach or the decision, that's another thing. But explain your reasons why I've taken this decision, because as a creature of statute, you cannot take decisions in isolation. You need to follow the law and explain the reasons why is it that you took those decisions.
Thank you for that answer. When I look at the challenges that you are coming up, maybe it was going to be my follow-up questions, but I think you have covered it in your presentation. My last question is, are we ready to release the spectrum? Do you think we are ready?
Thank you for the question. It all depends on which spectrum are we talking about, but having worked for ICASA before and having engaged with ICASA on numerous occasions, the license of the spectrum was supposed to have been done many years ago. There was a process that was undertaken. Invitation to apply were drafted, and then also there were options that maybe can go the auction route. So I'll say ICASA is ready. Well, it's supposed to be ready, because that it's not a new thing. It's something that they are doing on a daily basis. It's just that because of spectrum is not enough for everybody, they need to find a solution or a formula to say we are going to be licensing the spectrum in this particular manner because it's not enough for everybody. But we are ready. I think it can be done immediately.
I see that you have a legal background. ICASA had a lot of litigations in the past. You coming into, if given an opportunity, what can ICASA do differently?
ICASA's problem has been not following process. That is the biggest challenge, because you can take a decision. It can be a wrong decision on merits. It's okay. But where, for instance, you miss a step, where the law says if you want to license, first publish for comment, wait 30 days, and thereafter give people an opportunity to come and make oral presentations, and you jump one of the steps, automatically you don't even need a lawyer. Anybody can go in front of a judge and represent that particular case. It will be won. ICASA will lose. ICASA will lose that particular case because they have basically did not follow the law. But at the end of the day is that there will be instances where you will be taken to court, because ultimately the courts are the final arbiters if people are. But most of those can be eliminated by making sure that you follow process and do everything by the book. If you say, I'm going to do things in this particular manner, don't jump steps. Do as you say you are going to do it, and then you avoid spending a lot of money on litigation. You can put that money on other things, research, development, or other things.
Thank you. The last one was, what are you going to bring to ICASA?
As I was saying, that what I've identified with ICASA is that sometimes the process is not followed. So my recommendation would be, if you say I'm going to be doing this in this particular manner, do it such that you follow the law, the letter of the law. Don't do things without following what the law says or the regulations that your developer say.
Thanks. In 2007, the CFO and CEO had allegedly stolen 1.1 million from ICASA safe. You said they are going to be investigated. Did they get investigated or disciplined, charged?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Andrews. What had happened is that a case was reported to the police for them to the police to investigate, because it was a criminal case, because it was theft. But then the CFO resigned short after that, and there was no disciplinary hearing that was conducted on that basis.
That's fine. The problem with a lot of this recirculation of people who have been to ICASA, you people don't have ideas about the future. So I've read some of the stuff you say ICASA is needs to be stronger and all of that. But so let's see if you have new ideas. The first one relates to the regulation of over-the-top programs. And the example specifically for me is that entire terrain or new technological development, particularly fast internet should be available for South Africans at a cheap rate. Broadcasting might move completely to online. What would be the ideas of regulation frameworks under those conditions?
Thank you for the question. It's not recirculation of people. I beg to differ with you slightly. I think it helps also to understand, and being in that environment, then give you a better picture next time around if we got an opportunity to go back. But when I was at ICASA, I was not a counselor, I was just an employee assisting. But
no, you've applied for this position before, no?
Yes, I did.
You did not get it.
Yes.
You're better again.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Okay, no, sorry. Okay, when it comes to regulation of over-the-top programs, I'll say in 2003, when the convergence bill was drafted, the idea was that, looking at the future, was that more than anything, most of the things that are going to be happening in the future will be applications. So instead of us constraining ourselves in terms of the market structure that we had before, was to say some of these elements will not be requiring a particular license per se, because if you look at broadcasting today, the biggest problem...
I know what's happening today. Yeah. I know what happened in the past.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a hypothetical situation. Try to be direct, because I don't have time.
Okay.
Now, SABC, everybody is broadcasting online.
Yeah.
I'm saying under those conditions, where broadcast completely moves online, what would be the framework of regulation?
Okay. I think, first of all, that the merging of film and publication with ICASA, because will be the regulation will, of broadcasting will no longer the way we are doing it. It will be that ICASA will now have to be a content regulator. The framework will be one, I think, light touch regulation, because you cannot try and over regulate, because that also stifles development moving forward. But what needs to be guarded against is that we need to make sure that.
So ICASA will become Film and Publication Board regulator. Yeah, but what would be the framework of regulation? So, okay, let me be a bit more specific. With ICASA, the punishment is in the power of the license. In this case, what if a person doesn't listen to the Films and Publications Board? What would be the implication?
Okay, I think some of the elements that need to be added will be the service licensees who are giving the platform to the broadcaster, for lack of a better word. The issue of industry.
Let me give you an example. TiVo Touch runs an online radio.
Yes.
Never spoke to ICASA, nothing.
Yes.
In a, which service licensee did he, who gave him a license? You do know the answer is nobody.
I want to say to you that for him to reach me on my laptop or my phone, I get services from a particular service provider. So that particular service provider, I think in the regulations on the license, which they must also look at, how will that particular service provider get involved if something goes wrong which is not within the regulations? And then that will give that particular service provider.
Do what?
One, for example, there can be penalties.
So if there's a person broadcasting and then they are swearing a lot, like those people of TiVo Touch, and then the regulator must go to MTN, Vodacom, SLC, and all say, punish TiVo Touch. What is this coverage? Clearly, you have not thought about this. Let me move to a different question. The other one for me, which is the future. The idea in the telecoms at the moment is that, you know, we roll out high demand spectrum, data prices will go down. One, two, what will drive them down is a number of factors, chief among which is the entrance of new players in some competition. So I think it's a myth that competition will drive prices down, because in the US it's not doing that. I think the idea that it is competition that drives prices down in and of itself has been disputed by a lot of radical economists. But let me ask you, when we have rolled out spectrum and we find out that data prices are still high, what is going to be the next port of call? You are ICASA, you are a counselor now. We will know in 2 years. You will still be there if we put you in. What would be your... Have you thought about this? And if you have, what would be the interventions to force these prices to go down for universal access?
You are right. It's competition does not necessarily bring down prices always. And if you can, okay, let me not go back to history. I would say the licensing of the wireless operating, the OWN, to me, I think that will help a lot in terms of driving the prices down. I've looked at what they've done in Mexico. It seems to be working. I'm not saying that it might work in South Africa, but I would say licensing of the ORM, which will have the spectrum, and anybody can come in at any time, plug in. You don't have to have high costs for infrastructure. That will also help to drive the prices down. So I think the ORM could be one of the solutions that I think could be the one that needs to be licensed to help drive the prices down.
Yeah, but what does one do to drive prices down?
Operators mostly say that the prices that they charge based on the infrastructure that is being put or what's for them to deliver the service to you. So if part of that has been taken out of the table, then I think the argument of saying that it's very expensive to put up equipment and roll out networks, that will help for people to...
So you don't have any new ideas. That idea already exists. Leona is based on a myth. You don't have ideas about the future in relation to online regulation. Why must we put you in ICASA? Because you don't have any new ideas. You are not part of the future thinking. Like, you don't know almost, you can't even project. Leadership is charting the future. Maybe you must go back advice, because that, it looks like the way you advise is when as problems get created. But when you are a counselor, you have to have the capacity to project and lead the organization into a future that is approaching, which in most of the cases requires bold speculation, bold decisions. We're not shame, you are just an advisor. I think one, maybe when we... So convince me that you've got what it takes and you have read the future.
That is like the last minute.
That's my, yeah, from me.
So when
you know, it's about the, you must be like the EFF, the future.
Let's try Dr. Ndozi to reduce the recruitment drive. Otherwise,
agreed, Chairperson.
The counselor to be
agreed.
Answering the question.
Okay, Dr. Ndozi, I did look at some of the things that I think will be happening in the future. For instance, issue of different sectors using telecoms or ICTs to deliver services. I mean, one example is financial services. I mean, people are talking about fintech and some of the banks, for instance, Time Bank, you don't have to do, you can apply for the account online, don't even have to go to a physical presence in a branch of a bank for you to apply for that. That is brought in through because of technology. But I think more than anything, what needs to happen is that a issue of the spectrum, taking out bottlenecks which delay in giving operators an opportunity to deliver services, and also to simplify some of the processes that ICASA undertakes.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to recruit. You're already recruited by EFF.
No, we don't want him. We don't want him. The future. Want the future.
Honorable Baloy, I'm living in an area where I'm bordering Northwest, because I'm bordering Botswana and Zimbabwe. And part of my borders might also include Mozambique. It's in Limpopo. That's where I come from. Now, in that area, there are areas where even when you are in South Africa, your phone is roaming. And there's overcharges. Sometimes in Botswana they charge you 9 rand per minute, Mascom, whatever you call it. And this issue of roaming for me is not properly regulated. if you were to be in ICASA, what form of proposals would you do? Because our people are suffering in those areas. They're not working, most of them. They had to use a lot of money just to communicate. And we as government have been saying our concern is the cost of communication. Now, that's my first question. And it's linked also to monitoring, whether ICASA is monitoring the service providers across the borders. The next question is, Honorable Faku asked you a very pertinent question, but I saw you were a bit diplomatic about it. The minister withholding the money for ICASA, what's your view? You were just diplomatic, people must engage and so on. We want to hear your views so that tomorrow when you are in ICASA, if indeed it's an interference, say it so. There's no minister here. This is parliament. If it's interference, say it so. If you feel it's not interference also, say it so. Because you'll be in ICASA and the same situation might happen. Now we want to know whether you have the guts to take on things that are wrong, because you emphasize the issue of independence, the financial model. You are happy with the fact that it's Parliament that is funding, through appropriation. Now it's not the minister's money; it's Parliament's money. We are the ones who are appropriating. Why didn't ICASA, if they have a problem with the minister, go to Parliament? Because it's not the minister who's funding them. It's Parliament. So I want to get your views. So don't fear, it's not the minister who is employing you, it's the Parliament. Just answer that question. I want your honest answer.
When it comes to the first question, I'll see suffering from operators not putting up infrastructure, especially in rural areas or in outlying areas, because there will not be need for you to roam in with the other operators from neighboring countries. So at the end of the day, it comes back to the issue of the rollout and connecting the country. The unconnected, basically, because ICASA has got a relationship with other regulators in the region where they're looking at the issue of roaming. But that, if it was when you're traveling into that country, it will be a different story. But right now, I think the problem is more of the operators not having rolled infrastructure.
You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm in South Africa. I'm not in another country. But I'm in an area that is next to the border. My phone uses the Botswana mass call. But I'm in South Africa. And I'm paying excessive costs. And I'm using MTN and Vodacom. And I'm told SLC now is collapsing his knees. I don't know whether it's true. I'm using SLC or Vodacom. They are here. I'm not hiding what I'm saying. I'm using MTN. Now, I'm not in a foreign country. So, in this case, I'm roaming, but I'm still in my own country. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I understand very well what you're talking about. As I'm saying to you, that it should not happen that you have to roam on another network from the foreign country for you to get better coverage on your cell phone. If the network had been rolled out properly, should not come to a point where for you to get services, then you have to roam on the other network. Because the same thing when you're here, I'm using Telkom. If where there's no coverage, you will roam on Vodacom. But that's the relationship between them, it's internal, and they don't have to charge me extra money. I still pay the same rate. But if you've got good coverage in your area, it means then your cell phone will not roam on other networks. There won't be a need for you to roam on the networks of the other countries. That's what I'm saying. We come back to the issue of, do you have network, do you have infrastructure in that particular area which will be able to service you such that there won't be a need for you to use a foreign network for you to get better coverage and to get services. So the services must be rolled out in your area, which the operator must render those services in your area so that you don't have to roam. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No. What are you going to do with the operator in this instance? Because you are in a casino.
Okay. The operators have, well, before they used to have obligations in terms of you have to roll out the network from A to a particular population, whole country, or a majority of the population. So if that doesn't happen, then ICASA will have to implement or penalize those operators because they have to do what they promised they're going to be doing. So if that doesn't happen, then they can send them to a CCC within ICASA that why have you not done, or where you are in your area, why is it that every time when you are at home, you have to roam in another network, even though you have coverage on your cell phone with your current service provider. Okay. When it comes to the issue of the minister, I don't know the actual facts of what had happened then, because I was not part of either ICASA or the ministry. But from what I've read and from what I understood, my understanding is that it seems like there was some kind of misunderstanding between the two parties, which should not have happened if they were communicating properly. Normally, there are guidelines on when the car is supposed to get the money.
No, Mr. Walo, you are still diplomatic. You yourself said money was withheld. It's not me who said that. In your presentation, you said money was withheld. Now, if money is withheld in that instance, I need your view. Don't say it's a misunderstanding and be diplomatic. I need your view. Tell me, if a minister can withhold money for ICASA, what would be your view? Would you go to court? Would you do the same as ICASA? What do you classify that as? Is that interference? I want to know.
In that instance, if the minister one day decides to withhold the money, number one is we'll first engage. If that fails, then the solution will have to go to court, because at the end of the day, the courts will be the final arbiters of who's right, who's wrong. So if that happens, ultimately, ICASA will have to go to court or get a solution so that they can be able to render services. If that happens, I will say I will agree with what they've done going to court. If the minister deliberately withholds the money without reasons, I will say it could be interference. But in this instance, we need to understand what has happened. But what I'm saying is that ultimately, it kind of have to go to court to find relief if that happens.
Maybe just one question, piggybacking on what Honorable Fako raised with you. You said you are ready for the high demand spectrum release. It's been delayed for some time, so we are ready. Just what is in the public domain? Immediately after there's been an understanding that part of the spectrum is where broadcasters are at this point in time, and hence BDM, which you know has been delayed. A response by Centec, now I'm talking about what is in the public domain, so not information else somewhere. Then Centec raised an issue about restacking, and therefore switch off may not necessarily mean the release of that spectrum immediately. What's your view? I'm saying we are ready to do it now, meaning that you are saying we'll be able to meet the deadlines that have been pronounced. So, as I say, not the go-along, but really your view, understanding these matters having been in ICASA, and you have also these other players, and CENTEC in this instance, we're talking about a government entity, raising the same matter. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. There are various elements to that issue. One will be the question of the licensing of the spectrum itself, which I believe that ICASA is ready to do that. And then there are different bands on that high demand spectrum, which is supposed to be licensed. That's number one. I think ICASA is ready to do that. The second issue is that some time back when Liquid was licensed, they got a portion of the spectrum that you're talking about that is currently being used by broadcasters. There was a study that was done, or there was a joint committee between the department and ICASA where we looked at how best to license them. What had happened is that there was a decision to say wherever there's no, there was, I'll say, some channels we were not unused, which are the ones allocated to Liquid. Even though it's not the same channel in each and every area, it will depend on which one is available in a particular area. My proposal would be that, you're right when you say it doesn't mean that when they're licensed today, they can roll out immediately. They will still be, they must first vacate that spectrum, which is going to take long. So, first thing is that they will have to, number one, look at areas where it's not being used. You can start licensing that particular spectrum, because there are some areas where it's not being used. You can start licensing that spectrum which is not being used. And then also, there must be a phased it must be rolled out in a phased way, because you don't want to interrupt some of the services that are currently running on those channels or in those frequencies. So I'll say that it must be a phased rollout for you to be able to not to interfere or interrupt current services, but yet be able to roll out moving forward.
Yeah, maybe to save the time, just a follow up again, and I'm asking it so that you explain it to me in layman's language. If you have not moved yet, the licensing may be one thing, but you would know that in terms of how the Minister of Finance also looks at the sector, is to also look at revenue, right? Now, if you are looking at revenue, it means the one who then gets into that auction must get value for that spectrum. Now, how do you license something that you do not know what its value is, whether it's under or it's more? Because I understand you may probably refer to what is available, which others are arguing that it's 27% that's available. The bulk of that is still with broadcasters and so on. And I'm sure you'll understand the argument in the industry. Others have been saying broadcaster-led migration. But others also say, but can they really do that after like 5 years of not moving on that issue? So I'm just saying that the interaction we have with you, especially when you come from ICASA, but also you have an advantage of also coming from the legal side of things. The legality of giving something to somebody that's not known its value, and then you realize later that that's not what you're looking at. I'm saying both parties may be affected by that, and whether you call that readiness this year in particular.
As I was saying, that there was various elements to that question. There are bands that are currently available which can be licensed immediately. That's number one. Number two is that, as I was saying, that on the other ones, it has to be a phased approach, because you cannot switch off tomorrow. That will take some time. that has to be accommodated in that process. So the value that we're talking about in terms of the options, I would say that it will be the current spectrum that is available that can be used immediately, which operators can start using immediately. But the other spectrum, where you still have to vacate, the rollout will take some time because you cannot roll out whilst someone is still sitting on that particular band. It has to be a phased approach. And also, there are, I think maybe the other thing that can be done is, is to fast track the licensing of the bands that have just been adopted now in Egypt in November, because those also are allocated for 5G. So that if they can run, it can, those bands can run parallel, operators will get value out of the process. And even the Minister of Finance will, can be able to get some money out of that, because if we can fast track the regulations that amending the band plan and then incorporating the new frequency that has just been adopted, that will put some relief immediately.
No, thanks for responding to questions raised by members, and I think it was quite a good engagement, I must say. And I will give you an opportunity now to just briefly say your last point, so that we will also allow proper closure.
Thank you, Chair. Now, my last point is that I would say ICASA should be able to license those frequencies, and it must license those frequencies, because operators have been complaining that it affects rendering services, and some say also affects prices. So for us to start moving forward, is that maybe that is a starting point, but it's not the only, it's not a silver bullet that's going to solve all the problems. All the other things must also be combined in terms of finding a solution moving forward, and including, as you're saying, the Centex assessment, that it doesn't mean that if you get license today, therefore tomorrow you'll be able to switch on and then start rolling the services. So I'll say because I have to roll out the has to license the spectrum immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Baloyi. We've come to the conclusion of this part. All administrative related matters, you will interact with the support staff that has been interacting with you. Otherwise, thanks. Thank you.